Okay, tonight is our last message on the subject degrees of fellowship. Tonight we're going to deal with something I think is very important. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 101. I call this the separation psalm. And there is one more area in this degrees of fellowship. And again, fellowship revolves around what you have in common with God, with other believers, with fellowship among sound churches, things you have in common, doctrines that you believe. Let's just face it. The more that someone agrees with you in the Scripture, the more you're going to have fellowship with that person. It's the way it works out. But tonight, we're going to deal with a subject, really, that is neglected in most churches, neglected in most individual lives. And that is the fact that we are to not have fellowship, and we're not to be in agreement with the world system that is opposed to God, opposed to the Word of God, opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of the conflict that exists between believers, between genuine Christianity and the world, there's always been a certain amount of tension. And I think that's important. We should not feel comfortable in this world, in a world that's full of immorality and ungodliness and wrong thinking and cheating and stealing and lying, and adultery, and covetousness. We are commanded to be separate, to not have fellowship, not have things in common. In fact, the Bible commands us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life are not of the Father, but are of the world. And they are all things that pass away. Only the things of God are eternal. And we are to not just not love the world, we're to separate from its ideals, its philosophies. I mean, there's a lot of worldly philosophies that are just taken for granted today. Teachings that almost everybody universally agrees with. Evolution. Everybody says they believe in evolution. I don't. That's a worldly, atheistic, ungodly philosophy that flies in the face of the Word of God throughout. There is not a verse of Scripture that supports any favorable opinion of evolutionary theory. It is of the devil. And yet think about how many churches never even teach or preach a message on creation. Never teach a message on God's sovereign control over all of creation. We're not to love the world. We're not to love their philosophy. When it comes to the family unit, the world is trying to eliminate the idea of a biblical family made up of a man and a wife who love each other, who produce children, who train and teach and love and care for their own children. Our world says You know, that's bygone age. That's a bygone age. That's over with. They're trying to completely obliterate the idea of a family unit. And they're doing it through all these different isms. You know, the lesbian, gay, B, bisexual, T, transgender, LGBTQ, queer, and I think they got a plus, an A plus something. I put a P on the end because now they're also trying to force people into this minor attracted persons. They're not minor attracted. They are perverts. They're pedophiles. They're grooming them. They're grooming kids. It's not normal when cities put on drag queen shows and have kids involved in. That's not normal. That's the world system that we live. We're to be opposed to it. We're to live contrary. Shield your kids from this wickedness and this nonsense. Look what Psalm 101 says. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. This is where it starts. This separation, it's you individually in your home. This, he is making a resolution. I'm going to walk before the Lord in my home with a perfect, mature heart that's set upon him. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. It's a resolution he's making. I'm not going to agree with what they're trying to bring forth. It's not going to stick to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. He's not going to be hanging around people who are slanderers, who are false witnesses. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. He's not going to engage with people who are proud and arrogant and full of themselves, because he doesn't want that to rub off on him or his family. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. That's the Lord speaking there at the end. Separate. It starts in the home. Turn over to Proverbs 4. My kids, I made them memorize this. I don't know if they remember it. Proverbs 4, verse 14. And Adelaide, if you haven't memorized this yet, shame on you. Okay? maybe I never said it to her. Verses 14 and 15. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Remember those verses, Aaron? Josh? Katie? And I pray that all my grandkids learn this. And not only learn it, but live it. Practice it. The wicked are, they want to destroy you. They want to destroy your family. It says in verse 16, "For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall." Don't be around people that are trying to bring you down and trying to bring other people down into the filth of this world. "For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence." Contrast, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more under the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. What a contrast. Light and darkness. "They know not at what they stumble." He said, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings." You want to avoid the world and its influence? Get in the Word. Take heed to the sayings of God that are found in the Holy Scriptures. "Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart." Oh, there's a good verse right there. Memorize these words. Keep them in your heart. Meditate upon them. Think deeply upon them. "For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." You want to be blessed? Gavin, get the Word in you. Get the Word in your heart. Believe it, live it, love it. It says in verse 23, if you're going to separate from the wicked, here's the way to do it. Hey, Aaron, does it bring back memories when I call on these kids? Huh? On Wednesday night? Do you remember when our kids were little and they used to come up? Remember I was going through the book of Proverbs and they could hardly even reach the pulpit, and we were having them read, the young boys read. I love those days. All right, let's go to verse 23. That was just a little break in here. Here's how you keep from the wicked and worldliness. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Your affections, the seed of your affections, what you love. Keep that for God. For out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Don't adopt the speech patterns of the world. Put that away from you. Put away arrogance. Put away, instead, do what the psalmist said. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Verse 25, "Let thine eye look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee." Keep a serious focus, a laser focus on what's right, what's true, what's holy. Don't be diverted by the world and its temptations. Ponder the path of thy feet. Watch where you're going. And let all thy ways be established. Don't go with the wicked to bars, to nightclubs, to places of, to dope dens. Don't go those places. Don't go where people are doing stupid stuff. Go to church. Go to the house of God. Verse 27, "Turn not to the right hand or to the left." Here's the last phrase. "Remove thy foot from evil." Separation from that which is ungodly. The Scriptures make it quite clear that we are not to have fellowship with the sin and darkness of the world system that's opposed to God, His Word, His law, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We must not stand with or agree with the world, with that world system that's dominated by Satan. and its wickedness, but rather separate from it. And here's probably the most famous passage dealing with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? By the way, young people, if you're a Christian, don't marry somebody that's not a Christian. Marry in your faith by the grace of God. Otherwise, you're going to be unequally yoked. And I can guarantee you something. If somebody's being dominated by the darkness and the depravity of Satan, their fleshly nature will have a lot of influence on your life. So separate from it. Don't get involved in a relationship that can damage you forever. It's important. Now, what concord, what agreement hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Someone who does not believe the Word of God or Christ. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? The question? None. There's no agreement. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. We're not to have any fellowship with the world, any agreement with a system that hates God. Now, you got to live in the world. You've got to carry on your life in the world. But you can't. You have to be aware every day that you are in a spiritual battle. Ephesians 5, 11 and 12. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Again, these are all scriptures that tell us don't have any fellowship with that, those unfruitful works of darkness. I'm against a lot of things, but I'm also for a lot of things. I mean, money's hard enough to come by. Don't gamble it away. I've never understood people who gamble. You take your money and then you light it on fire. That's basically what you're doing when you're gambling. Hey, let's go. Let's do some gambling tonight. Here, give me the matches. I'll just light it on fire for you. And that's basically what you're doing. It's nonsense. Young people, don't get involved in that stuff. That the world does that. It's no good for anybody. You say, but what about when people win? Look at the people that have hit it rich in a lottery. It usually destroys them. Who is that guy? Whitaker in West Virginia? I mean, he's the classic famous case. He ruined his life, man. It's a lot better to be poor on Buffalo Creek than to gamble. Now, again, these verses that we're dealing with, they don't mean that we're to remove ourselves physically from the world and don white robes and go to a secluded mountaintop. As much as some of you would like to do that, you cannot do that. You still got to have an influence. Still got to be in this world. You got to be a light. Let your light so shine before men. We're to shine as lights in a world shrouded by darkness and depravity. Philippians says that ye may be blameless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now, I've given you a lot about what not to do. I want to show you one last passage. It's not enough for you just to separate from the world and its ideology and its philosophy. You got to put something in its place. And I think the formula is in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, your old way of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then he gives you a whole list of things here about putting away lying, stealing, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, and replace all that. Verse 32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. All right. That's it on the degrees of fellowship. Your guess is as good as mine what next Wednesday night will hold. It'll be something from the Bible.
I guarantee you that.